This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. We're talking today with Gary Anderson, artistic director at Detroit's Plowshares Theater, and he's directing the play N at Plowshares, which is about the actor Charles Gilpin. Gilpin, who was African-American, became famous in the early 1920s, starring in a play by Eugene O'Neill called The Emperor Jones. Gilpin felt that the play was deeply demeaning in its language and use of stereotypes. I asked Gary Anderson about the collaboration between the playwright and the actor. This conversation between these two men feels so relevant right now. Eugene O'Neill is saying, I created this role. Right. I understand it. And Gilpin is coming back at him saying, you've never lived my life. You can't possibly understand this role as I am playing it on stage.
Well, there are certain distinct things about Brutus Jones that Charles understood intimately. The character, as it's written, is a Pullman porter. O'Neill knows absolutely nothing about Pullman porters other than the use of them when he was on a train.
He knows they exist.
He knows they exist, exactly. Charles was a Pullman porter. He understands the humiliating, derisive nature of being called George. All Pullman porters on every train in this country was never called by their real name. They were all called George because the name of the man who ran the company was George Pullman. And so that devaluing of your individuality is an aspect of the job that you had, the thing that actually kept you alive. That's a unique aspect of the character that Charles brought to it. And so when you know that as a part of their biography of Brutus Jones, you can see how when he's provided with an opportunity of leadership, of authority, he becomes a despot, much in the way that he's treated when he's on the trains as a Pullman porter. When you have the reins of power, what you do is you emulate the oppressor that oppressed you.
You don't know what else to do with your power but to oppress
exactly,
others.
Exactly. And so when you look at how Gilpin rendered the character, and you see how the dynamics of, yes, he is a horrific character. There are real terrible things about him, but they come from some context that is based in how we interpret the role. And that's not something O'Neill would have known. That's not something O'Neill would have interpreted or even thought about. It's something that this black man who actually lived that life brought to the character.
We're at a place in the culture right now where black artists are reinterpreting works by white writers in really different and exciting ways. Like, and I'm thinking of all black castings of Oklahoma that have been performed in some theaters around the country. And at the same time, there are different opportunities coming up in the wake of Hamilton by Lin-Manuel Miranda by writers of color. I mean, there's still a huge, huge discrepancy in American theater of the number of plays by white playwrights as playwrights of color that come up on stage. But, you know, the conversation is moving around out there. And I feel like there's more interest in seeing white writers just approach the experiences of people of color in a more real way. And the question of who is telling whose story is something that is now alive in theaters, I think, in a way that hasn't been before.
I think the conversation has always been there. I don't think we've always been willing to have it and be as frank and open about it. For me, colorblind casting, which is the black cast of Oklahoma, the example you gave, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in reinterpreting somebody else's experience with black people. I don't want to see black people be fake white people. I am much more interested, and I've said this before to friends, that until we have exhausted all of the stories that have never been told about African Americans, known and unknown, in the 400-plus history of this country, I don't need to do a black Batman or a black Inherit the Wind or anything, because I need to exhaust all of the things, the unique aspects of my life. With regards to Hamilton, that's a fine and an exciting production, and I thoroughly enjoyed it when I saw it on Broadway. But what he does with that play, which is, again, unique, is that he reinterprets the experience of the founding of this country through the eyes of people of color. And that's a different approach than taking something that is already established.
What does this play tell us about interracial friendships at that time in America?
I think that it tells you that they are far more layered and in challenged because of the differences between races. Because the power dynamic, as I was saying, the power dynamic between actor and playwright that existed is one that you naturally have. One, when we're talking about the authorship of a role, those are legitimate arguments and areas of compromise that happen in the theater because, like I said, we're a collaborative art form. The problem, however, is when there's added on with the layer of race and restrictions of race, opportunities for people of different ethnicity. Eugene O'Neill has power and access and opportunity that Charles S. Gilpin did not have. And in fact, the relationship that they try to create as equals is artificial because of the circumstances through which they live.
Does this play have something to suggest to us about those kind of friendships and professional relationships today?
I think it has a strong argument to tell in regards to when we're talking about representation. The times in which the Emperor Jones was created, there were not opportunities for black actors of Gilpin's skill to regularly work on plays written by black writers. In fact, in a few years, 1923, we're going to see the NAACP ignite an interest in developing black playwrights all over the country. So they do a call to action on writers from other art forms, poets, short story writers, to think about writing plays. That's because they're trying to build a canon from which we can start seeing works come from our authentic voice, what we call first voice. That's still important today. When we see work where characters on TV or in film are rendered by white authors and the characters are perceived as inauthentic, that challenges us specifically in regards to how true the statements are. And it's the same we feel. I know people criticize people like Martin Scorsese, whose works, with the exception of Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, all have male protagonists. And you say, wouldn't it be nice if he just wrote a female character of some prominence? I don't think I want somebody who is so obviously concerned about the plight of men writing a female character. I would prefer us excel and elevate women writers to write their own stories as opposed to asking some man to do it for them. And I feel the exact same way when we're talking about people of color. I don't want white writers attempting to try to tell my story. I'd much prefer elevating writers like Adrian.
How do you feel like the pipeline is going for playwrights like Adrian and others who are bringing those stories out?
Here's the challenge. Across this country, black theaters like Plowshares are under-resourced in regards to opportunities based on the way funding structures occurred. Right now, 56% of all arts dollars coming from foundations or individuals or corporations goes to the top 2% of arts organizations. So that's more than half of all the money is spent on 2%. Those organizations have a very similar complexion and perspective culturally. And so you find that the rest of us, the other 98% of the arts field, are fighting over 44% of all the money that's left, which in fact means that many institutions of color are left out. So that means that we have to rely more on box office, which means that in many cases, many of my peers don't do new play development because new play development cannot be guaranteed in comparison to a play that has established background or connection through a Broadway run. And that's been part of the challenge for us. I'm concerned about the pipeline not being strong enough to develop the work, which is the reason why Plowshares is focused on doing new work and newer work. The three shows we're doing this season, two of them are Michigan premieres. The third is a world premiere, never before seen. And that's a gamble we're taking because I believe that we can cultivate an audience here that is interested in seeing new work and doesn't need to see another production of A Raisin in the Sun or For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough.
Your actor in the role of Charles Gilpin is Tiferet Mohammed.
Yes.
Will you tell us about what you feel he brings to this role?
I think he brings a sense of the energy behind the aspirations, the desire to really do the job well, and also understand the cost that this role brought to Charles Gilpin. The character, in essence, is stereotypical. And so Charles had to bring more to it to try to make it something that is palatable. The N in the title, the letter N, stands for the N-word. And that's the main crux of the conflict between O'Neill and Gilpin, is the use of that word, because it's replete throughout the script. Gilpin changes it. Farrell understands what that word means and the power of it. And so he's able to bring a sense of communication to the audience about how soul-defeating it is to be put in that situation, to be forced in it, knowing that this is the way that he's going to make his living.
Your one shot at just continuing to do the thing that is your passion in life and to make a living that way and to have it be through this lens.
Right. Many, many actors, black, white, red, green, and yellow, have gotten success at some level doing something that they knew that was patently offensive, and yet they did it anyway because there's an addiction to the recognition you receive. There's an addiction to what the promise of greater work that could come following this. There's an addiction to just being recognized for your talent, which comes so infrequently. Those are the elements of the character of Charles S. Gilpin, and we're really happy to be rendering that because his story was lost to the annals of theater history. There were some rumors out there about the original production where the excuses are he got rid of him because he was drunk, which have never been substantiated in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we know all about O'Neill's drinking. I mean, he even writes it into his own plays. So we're very well aware of that. Gilpin's tragedy is that he's successful, and that cost him his humanity. And Farrell is able to bring that through clearly to us on the stage.
Gary Anderson, thank you so much for talking to us about this.
Thank you.
Gary Anderson. He's the artistic director of Plowshares Theater in Detroit. He's directing Adrian Earle Pender's play entitled N through February 16th. Information's at our website at michiganradio.org. Arts and cultural coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.